League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, September 1st, 2017, and the Green Bay Packers are a few hours removed from finishing up their exhibition season with a win over the Los Angeles Rams. I can't really remember the score because it doesn't really matter, but my name is Michael Cohen. This is the Packers Podcast, and as promised, I'm here with Tom Silverstein. Tom, what a game we saw.
It was forgettable, extremely forgettable. Although I think we did see a few things, we can take a few things out of that game that are worth, I think, mentioning or at least helping in form the 53-man roster. I'll just give you a couple of mine. I thought Ladarius Gunter solidified a spot on the roster, played really well. I'm still not convinced with Brett Hundley. I think he'll, of course, be the backup, but I'm not convinced that he's the right guy for the job. He still has to prove some things to me. I thought Aaron Jones had a really nice game and put himself in the picture. And I would say that, what else did I see? I thought Reggie Gilbert had a really nice game again, and he's put himself in the conversation. I don't know if he'll make it, but he definitely put himself in the conversation.
Yeah, I think the things that you saw were pretty similar to the notes that I made here. And, you know, you mentioned Hundley. And I think that the combination of Hundley still being a little bit less productive and less secure than the Packers probably want, coupled with the fact that I thought Taysom Hill had another really good game behind a really questionable offensive line, I think the Packers go from two quarterbacks to three. I had them at two coming into the game, and on my 53, which we will each share our 53-man roster in a couple seconds, but I've got them with three quarterbacks now.
Yeah, I think we both agree on that. I think what basically has forced that to happen is that Hundley didn't play as good as they wanted, and Hill played better than they've expected. And I just don't think you can rule out a guy who leads the team. I haven't counted how many series he had, but I think it's like maybe three touchdowns in eight series, something like that. I don't know how you discount that. I don't know how you can let a guy who I don't care if he's 27, I don't care if he's injury prone, he's too good of an athlete. And he finds ways to get the job done. And with the way Hundley played, I just would absolutely have to keep him on the roster.
And then the other thing that I'll say before we get into the position thing is I thought there were a few guys that played their way off the roster or at least farther out of the discussion, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think Justin McCray has had a tough end to camp here, a guy that started out really strong the first couple weeks, but I think it's gone downhill quickly for him.
Yeah, I think the worst thing that happened to him was that he had to play center, and it's just not his position. He did have some moments, and given time, I think he could be a good player. I think he could be a practice squad guy, but you're right, there was just too much. It was just a little too much for him. I think the same you can be said for Jeff Gray, who at one point, you know, kind of looked okay, but he's not ready.
And Kofi Amici.
Same thing. I'm not even sure if he's going to be on the practice squad. That's something I'll have to decide.
So that's really who played off the discussion for me. It was on the offensive line. Should we just go into this position by position?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's start at QB. I think we have the same thing here.
Yep.
Go ahead, Tom.
Okay, so I'll take all three guys, Rodgers, Hundley, Hill. Callahan will be released. It's very iffy whether he gets picked up. I think there may be a team that could talk him into it. I think if he clears waivers, he signs with another team. I don't think he comes back to Green Bay. I think he's had it.
I think so as well. And plus, you know, even if he were to come back on the practice squad, you know, what is he going to get out of it? You know, he's fourth.
Right.
He would need three guys in front of him to get hurt. And even then, he's so far down the pecking order that he's just not going to get any reps in practice. It's just – it's going to be a tough road for him.
It's a waste of time to have a fourth guy.
Agreed.
I think
regardless, he's out after this year. We'll do fullbacks and running backs separate. What do you have for running backs?
Okay. I went with three running backs.
So did I.
I went Montgomery, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones. I think Devontae Mays is the odd man out. Even though I thought he ran really hard today, I think you can see that he's got some talent. But nobody's going to pick him up, I don't think. He didn't do enough in the preseason. Everybody's got running backs. It's the easiest position to fill. I thought Aaron Jones really took a big step the last 2 weeks and showed that he's probably the best runner of the group. Jamal Williams by far is the best blocker, and he's got the potential to be a good runner, but Aaron Jones to me is ahead of him as a runner. So we'll see how that works itself out, but that would be my three.
I have the same three, and I was actually kind of disappointed with Jamal Williams overall in training camp. Not necessarily because he did anything wrong or extremely poorly, but for a guy that seemed to earn the respect of the coaches pretty quickly, I just didn't see a whole lot of it take root on the field. You know, you saw the pass protection for sure, but you didn't see a lot of consistent running. I think for the whole exhibition season, he was down in the twos for yards per carry. And he had the benefit of playing behind better offensive lines than some of the other guys. But I agree with you. I think Jones has taken a step forward. And I spoke to him really briefly in the locker room. He said he's really pleased with the growth he's made on special teams. He thinks that's a big plus for him relative maybe to the other two guys there.
Yeah.
What about fullback?
Fullback, I'm just going with one, and it's Ripkowski.
Me too.
I don't see a reason to keep two, even for special teams purposes. Joe Carriage filled that role last year, but I don't think they need it this year.
Would Carriage get picked up?
Yeah, I think he could get picked up. I don't know if he'd be claimed right away, but I do think he could wind up on a 53 at some point this year.
Any chance he would re-sign with the Packers on the practice squad?
I think so, yeah. I think so. I think he's practice squad eligible. He should be. Yeah, absolutely. I think he could wind up there.
What do you think separates those two guys?
Ripkowski can carry the ball, and he's a better third down guy. He can play in the third down offense, whereas Joe Carriage, I think, is a blocker. That's what he does.
I agree. I think that Ripkowski gives you a little bit more of a dynamic element on offense. And, you know, one thing that we didn't get to see much of anything with these guys is which of these backs can be short yardage backs, especially down by the goal line. Montgomery had that one carry.
Yeah.
But we didn't see too much of that. And so that could be a role that Ripkowski ends up with again.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. One thing we didn't see was much of Ty Montgomery. And I think we will see a lot of him, and I don't think we'll see that much of Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones early on. The whole key to the season is going to be how healthy Ty Montgomery stays. I'm a believer now in him.
You've become more and more bullish on him
as
camp has gone on.
I have, and I think he can be – he doesn't have to be a 1,000-yard rusher, but if he averages – 5 yards a carry, 4.6, something like that, then they got what they needed out of him. And it's just he's got to stay healthy. I don't know if he can.
All right, how about wide receiver? This is one where I think there could be a lot of debate around, you know, Packers fans everywhere.
I went with six.
So did I.
Okay. I decided that McCaffrey and Clark were not going to make it.
Okay.
And Dupree. I couldn't go with Malachi Dupree. I did go with, so my six are Nelson, Adams, Cobb. Of course, I crossed out Geronimo Allison because he's suspended.
Right.
So he doesn't make it the first week. Now, at some point after, they're going to carry seven.
Correct.
And they'll have to make that decision then. But for right now, they don't. So I think they just go with six, Janice, and then I think they stick with D'Angelo Yancey. I think he's got too much potential.
And Trevor Davis would be the other
one. Trevor Davis would be the other, that's right.
So far we're in agreement all the way down the board.
Yeah,
I've got the same six receivers. You've got Nelson, Cobb, Adams, Janice, Davis, and Yancey.
Right.
I think Yancey gets the benefit of the doubt simply because he was a fifth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he definitely showed some things, but I don't think he was miles better than some of these other guys that we've discussed.
No, but he's athletically
agreed,
way more gifted than those other guys. I mean, Michael Clark is gifted, but there was a reason they didn't play him at all in this game, and
right,
that's because they want him to go on to the practice squad. I think we can assume that. They didn't want anybody to even look at him.
Tight ends, I think, is a pretty simple one.
Yeah. Now, so I'll tell you what. I had the thought that Richard Rodgers could go or be traded. But then I saw something that I forgot, and which is that Lance Kendricks has been known to make drops,
yep,
or to have drops. And he had a drop today. It was a little bit of a zinger from Hundley. But Richard Rodgers has the best hands of anybody on the team. And that kind of, seeing that again, sort of changed my mind that if Kendricks gets in a funk or something, they're going to want Richard Rodgers. And one thing they know is that guy can catch the ball.
So we have all three. We have Bennett, Kendricks, and Richard Rodgers?
Correct.
Okay. How about the offensive line?
Now, this, for me, comes with a huge caveat. You know, of course, I stuck with the five starters. Spriggs is a lock. Murphy's a lock. Now, I think that they face a really tough situation here, which is that, is Don Barkley ready for the opener? If he's not, they have to pick someone up, or else they have to go with Justin McCray.
Or if they think Lucas Patrick is on the verge of clearing the protocol, but that's a risky situation too.
Really, yeah. I don't know. If Barkley's not ready, even if he is ready, healthy, he gets 3 days of practice to be ready. Now, you know, it's a backup. You know, he's not going to start. He may not play at all. That's kind of the risk. But I went with him, and I went with eight offensive linemen. Spriggs, Barkley, Murphy are the backups.
Well, we are in agreement again. This is weird. I swear we did not do this next to each other. But I've got the same eight linemen. I just think that McCray played his way off, you know, by having to play center like you mentioned. I think Lucas Patrick could have been in the conversation if he didn't have that concussion, and maybe he plays tonight and he has a better game at center.
Maybe.
I just don't think any of these other guys, Jeff Gray, Adam Pankey, Kofi Amici, I just don't see it. I think that the lack of depth that we wrote about over and over again translates to a small number of offensive linemen. They don't have to keep nine. I mean, they've kept nine in the past, but they don't have to.
I'll tell you what. I like Adam Pankey.
Do you?
He should not have been playing tackle. They tried to make him a tackle. He was a guard mostly in college, but he did play some tackle, some left tackle. I watched him, and when he's at left guard, he's a completely different player than he is at right guard or at tackle.
Okay.
And now he needs to be better at right guard, but I talked to him after the game, and that is his position, and I noticed it during the game that he is just pretty decent blocker, pass blocker, when he's on the left side. And then you put him on the right side, and then he's not quite as good. But that's the position he's familiar with.
Nobody's going to pick him up.
No.
So he could definitely be stashed on the practice squad,
absolutely.
No question.
Absolutely, and I think he will be.
All right, what do you have on the defensive line?
Okay, defensive line. I went with 6 defensive linemen. I'm keeping Price, but so I'm keeping Lowry, Clark, Daniels, then Francois and Price, and I'm keeping Montrevious Adams. I'm cutting Christian Ringo. And I'll tell you why. Montrevious Adams is a candidate for IR, but I don't think you want to wait 8 weeks for him. And I think a guy with pass rush ability is too valuable. So give him 4 weeks to practice and see what he can do. I mean, he was so impressive in the off season that I think you just carry him.
Well, we're 6 for 6 again here.
Yeah, you feel the same way?
The same thing. I just think that, to me, it came down to Price against Ringo. Mm-hmm. That was the one for me. And I just think that one of the things that you've mentioned on this podcast before is that without LaTroy Guyon, they don't really have a true nose tackle anymore. And I think Price, with his big frame, with his ability to be pretty mobile with a big frame, I think is something that even if it's only a couple snaps a game, even if he's inactive for some games, I think it's a body type that they like, and it's just so different from what Ringo gives them that I think it's hard to let that guy go, because don't forget, they had to bump up Price and pay him full salary on the practice squad last year. So that means there are other teams that are interested, and if they cut him, he might be a guy that somebody could take a look at.
Yeah, I think you want him to play 10 snaps a game. You know, you want Clark to play the bulk at nose tackle, but Francois can play the nose tackle. Daniels can play it. Even Lowry can give you a couple of snaps there. I think you just want Price to be there for your goal line defense, and I think you want him to give Kenny Clark some first down rests.
I agree. What do you have at inside backer?
Okay, I went with 3.
Okay.
I kept Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez, and Joe Thomas, and I put Jordan Tripp on IR.
Okay. I went with 4. I kept Jordan Tripp. I think that Tripp was playing really, really well at the time that he suffered the concussion. He was actually getting some first-team reps at that point, and I think with his violence and the way he plays the game so physically and with what he gives him on special teams, I think that he sneaks through, even though I don't know where he is in the concussion protocol, but he certainly would be a candidate for IR, and that would allow them to keep a guy that I think we both agree they seem to really like, this guy.
Yeah, it's a little risky to keep 3, except that if they're going to play all this nitro, then they don't need to keep more than 3. Jordan Tripp is a guy for sure they want playing special teams. It's just that at this point, I don't know. I think they can wait. I think they can wait on him and then have him down the stretch.
Okay.
You know, and they will, there will be injuries and he can be added.
And don't forget, I mean, you mentioned that 3 out inside backers is a little bit of a risk, but that's what they did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't necessarily bite them in the butt until Martinez got hurt in week, you know, what was it, 9 or 10? And that's when Tripp ended up, you know, coming on board. So they can get through, certainly.
The other thing is you can move Matthews inside.
Sure.
You've got Ahmad Brooks. Why wouldn't you? You got the chance to move him inside.
Yep.
And he stayed healthier inside. So I almost wonder whether that's being contemplated at all.
What do you have at outside linebacker?
So I kept 5 outside linebackers.
Okay.
I kept Matthews and Perry, Ahmad Brooks, Jerone Elliott, and Kyler Fackrell.
Same with me.
Okay. You didn't keep Gilbert?
No, I didn't. Were you close to keeping Gilbert?
I was. I was close to keeping Gilbert. I thought he played really well against the Rams. I mean, I need to go back and look at it again, see if he got run on or anything like that. But he had consistent pressure.
He had 3 quarterback hits in the first half.
Did he?
He had 1 terrible special teams penalty and unnecessary roughness out of bounds on the sideline.
Was that him at the end of the game?
It was him at the end of the game. But again, I mean, he's basically played no special teams. That's one thing that hurts him a little bit.
He could get picked up.
Okay.
I think he could get picked up. It's just that there's a lot of these converted outside linebacker types that everybody wants to Everybody has outside linebackers. It was a good year for outside linebackers, and I think there's a lot in the league, and so he could slip through.
Okay, and what do you have at corner?
Corner, I went with six. I mean, I think that's a slam dunk. I think, you know, it's House, and I think Demarius Randall will be the starter.
Yeah, I think he's past Rollins again.
Yeah, but I think Rollins could be the slot, and I got to give Ladarius Gunter some love here. If they're facing a bigger slot receiver, I'm not so sure he shouldn't be getting some playing time there. He's really played well lately.
And that's not something I would have guessed when they made that move three weeks ago.
Mm-mm. Kevin King, I think, is kind of the odd man out for the beginning of the year. They're going to want to get him on the field, but I don't know. With the nickel, how do they get him on the field?
I think they get him on the field in dime. I think that they can move Randall and Rollins both inside in the dime, and then maybe Burnett stays back at safety, which is not necessarily what he did last year.
Yeah, and what they did in practice and in games. You know, they like putting Burnett in the slot.
They do. I just wonder if there's going to come a time where they just want King on the field because of his athleticism and his size.
Yeah, I think you have to continue to develop him. And you can't develop him by keeping him on the bench.
Do you think there's a point in time where if he starts to play really well that it would be Randall, Rollins, and King, and House becomes the odd man out late in the year?
Could be. I think someone's going to get hurt. I just think that's the way it's going to be.
Okay.
And that'll open up some playing time for him. But, yeah, House played, what, one series tonight?
One series.
Or last night. And he looked okay. I think King will get better as the year goes on, and then we'll see how it shakes out. But, you know, House is probably the guy with the least to worry about right now.
So now let's move to safety, another one that I think is pretty set in stone at this point.
I don't think there's much discussion there. I think it's five, Burnett, Clinton Dix, Bryce, Josh Jones, and Marwin Evans in that order.
If Whitehead hadn't got hurt, do you think he could have snuck his way on there as a special teams guy?
No.
I don't either. I don't either.
I didn't see it.
I thought he was good on special teams, but not good on from scrimmage.
I think they like him, but they're just so loaded at safety. I don't see it.
And then the specialists, I think it goes without saying, the only thing here is, did you keep Vogel or did you have him picking up somebody?
I've always been in Vogel's corner.
Same.
Just because he's got a good leg. And if they, you know, if there's growing pains, they're going to live with it because the long-term potential for him is pretty good. And then he had a great night. I mean,
he did play really well tonight.
One bad punt. And he's going to have bad punts. I think they just have to live with that.
Yeah.
There's very few rookie punters who are any good. It usually takes them 2 or 3 years to get into it. I mean, every punter the Packers have had, it's taken, you know, Tim Mastay, it took him a couple of years. Even way back to Craig Hentrick, he wasn't a rookie. He had to bounce around the league a little bit. So Vogel will have his lumps a little bit.
And, I mean, this is my third season, and I've seen Mastay, Shum, Mortel, and Vogel. And Vogel has by far the strongest leg.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot of upside if he can find this consistency and just continue to improve the way that they want him to with all this directional kicking and Aussie kicking and stuff like that.
I will say one thing, though. Brett Goode is going to be great to have back as a snapper, but he hurts them on punt coverage.
No question.
I think that's he's getting older, and I mean, he wasn't that good last year, and I think that's they're lucky that they've been so good on punt coverage with their gunners, with between guys like Josh Jones and Bryce and, well, those aren't gunners, but
Janice and Hawkins.
Janice and Hawkins have been really good. Josh Jones, actually,
he was a gunner today.
A gunner, and he blew by that guy so bad that he had just a free shot on that punt returner and nailed him.
So, it was impressive.
Yeah, they have really good coverage teams.
So we've gone through the roster, and we have everything the same except for one. I had an extra inside backer in Jordan Tripp. So where is your 53rd guy?
Yeah, so I left a wild card spot open because I think they're going to pick up a center. And I think it's going to be from another team. I just don't think Barkley will be ready. It's tricky because, you know, are you picking up a guy for one game? I don't know. I mean, you're really trying to find someone who you think can play. And so I can see them doing that. And maybe it's just for one game till Geronimo Allison comes back. And then they bump the center. But, you know, it's a risky move. I just think they're going to somewhere – basically what I'm predicting is they're going to add someone through cuts. I'm guessing it's center, but it could be someplace else too.
Do you think they'll add more than one person through cuts? Is that a possibility? Could they look at a backup tackle if somebody got released?
Maybe. They could. They could. I just don't think there's ever any good tackles. Now – someone brought up in the blog, and I had forgotten about it, Josh Sitton got cut. I mean, he was a pretty good lineman that all of a sudden was free. So there could be a surprise cut like that. But, you know, why not just, even if it is for one game and you think the guy can help you if he knows you're a little bit of the offense or he's a veteran who gets let go, give it a shot because, you the chances are he's not even going to play anyway, so why not just fill Allison's spot for 1 week.
So you mentioned, you know, a surprise cut. I think we've talked about this before, and there's not a lot of veterans that seem, at least right now, like they could be in that scenario. But do you think that from a trade standpoint, is the safety position something they could look at because they've got so many guys there? Is Randall Cobb somebody that they could look at or another receiver? Is that – do you see any positions on this team that – opposing front offices will look at and say, maybe we can steal a guy here?
So I understand why people think that Randall Cobb's going to be traded, but I'm going to get into Ted Thompson's head here, and, well, I'm going to pretend I can get into Ted Thompson's head.
Nobody can do that.
But listen, if you think this is your Super Bowl team, and they do, just ride with all those guys because who knows what will happen. You don't know what injuries will happen, and if it creates a logjam at wide receiver and guys are mad that they're not getting the ball, too bad. You know, I just don't think you ruin a good thing. Cobb, if you're going to do something with him next year, fine, but I also think Jordy Nelson's going to hit the wall at some point. And he even said, you know, he thinks maybe two more years he's going to play, two or three more years at the most. And so you have to prepare for that, and you have to prepare for injuries. So I would not mess around and get rid of Randall Cobb.
So since we essentially have the same 53 with the exception of one guy, what do you think of this 53? You've seen a bunch of them over the years. What are the biggest strengths and weaknesses?
They're weak at offensive line, backup offensive line. They need to have the same kind of health they had a year ago. Is that going to happen? Odds are not. You know, odds are someone's going to get hurt that they weren't expecting. Is Jari Evans going to last the whole year? I don't know. That's a question mark. But they are, I'm sorry, but they're loaded with talent and on both sides of the ball, and there's no excuses for them not to be right in the thick of the Super Bowl race. And so I think it's really on McCarthy and his staff to do something with this talent.
No, I agree with you. I think that this team right now, you could argue, I think on defense there's probably some pieces that they would wish they could still have, like a Dayton Jones or a Julius Peppers that we talked about. But I think overall right now this team is better than it was a season ago. And, you know, obviously there was a huge dip with the 4-6 start, but I don't see any reason why this team doesn't at least reach the NFC title game again.
Yeah. The only thing stopping them is injury. And, of course, you know, they got to protect their quarterback. And one thing I noticed in the game against the Rams that I just haven't seen, even with their backups, was that three guys were getting to the ball at the same time. A lot of times last year, I just recall that one guy would get there, and then the second guy would get there, and then eventually the third guy would get there, but not at the same time. They got some speed. It's the first time I think you can say that about a Packers defense, that they've got a lot of speed, and that's going to be important for them.
No matter how dynamic this offense is, could this be another situation where their corners just let them down again?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to lay all my chips on Demarius Randall.
No.
I think he had a great camp, and I think he's being much more mature about how he's playing it, but I'm still not going to go all in on him or Quentin Rollins yet. I do like King, and I think he'll be pretty good. I liked House when he was here, but he's got to stay healthy. So, no, there's no guarantees. They could very much fall apart there again.
So let's assume that Beagle begins on PUP, which is what we think at this point.
Yeah.
What is the ideal role for him whenever he's healthy? I kind of see him coming in, and I think that that's a guy that they would love to have become almost a core special teams guy immediately with his speed and athleticism. And then I think he's kind of going to be brought along similarly to what Fackrell was last year, Elliott, where the top guys are all playing 400 to 600 snaps, and then maybe he gets 120 over the course of the year. I think Elliott was at like 140 last year. Do you agree with that? That by the time he gets back, that will be his role. It'll be small.
Yeah, it'll be at the end of the year. He's going to need time to practice. So we're talking second half of the year. I think he eventually beats out Fackrell for playing time, and he's just more physical. I want to see him. It's unfortunate we didn't get to see him in training camp to see how he translates into the
and
NFL.
And we're not going to see him in practice anymore either.
No.
Because we get to see these tiny little glimpses where we miss all the good stuff.
Maybe this is a redshirt year for him. Maybe it turns out to be a redshirt year. Maybe they don't really need him, and they put him on IR at some point. After, you know, they look at him for 6 weeks and decide they just want to or keep him on PUP. I think that's a possibility. So we'll see. But I can't make any prediction because I didn't even see the guy.
Yeah. I mean, and you at least saw him a little bit in college. I've never seen the guy play.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, didn't focus on him as much as, you know, T.J. Watt, and he was kind of the quiet guy in that defense. So I don't know how he translates into the Packers system.
And then the other guy, the last one to talk about, would be Demetri Goodson, the other guy that's certainly going to start on PUP. I think last year when he had that 4-game suspension for PEDs, there were a lot of people, myself included, that thought he'd stick around till then and then they'd let him go probably.
Mm-hmm.
But he found a way onto the team again and actually played. He started one game, I think, at Atlanta the first time, it was him and Gunter, I think, that game, and he actually played a lot. Now, what do you think this year? Do you think that because there are some injury-prone guys at corner that he ends up playing for the Packers this year?
I don't, but I think he's there as a possibility. You know, guys can fall through the cracks. Josh Hawkins is not a lock to stay on the roster the whole year. I mean, he's had a decent camp, and he flashes some stuff. You saw him make a really nice deflection on a deep ball against the Rams, but then he had a penalty. You know,
two penalties tonight.
Was it two penalties?
A PI and an illegal hands to the face.
Yeah,
both of which he contested vehemently in the locker room. I don't know what
course,
the ref was looking at.
Yeah, no, no one in the NFL has ever committed a penalty ever in the history of the game. That was legitimate. So, yeah, Goodson coming. He's a really good special teams player. I just don't know what his condition is after the knee injury. He had a pretty bad knee injury.
No question. No question. If he doesn't get activated off PUP, he would just be on after that week, was it week 9 or whatever?
They have to make a decision. They have to put him on IR,
right?
Cut him, and if he's not hurt, they probably have to cut him.
Okay.
I think. I don't think you can put him on IR if he's not still physically not up to what you want.
Okay. And so I think that's it. Those are the guys, really. There's nobody else that's going to start on PUP.
Yeah,
and
I'm going to sleep the next 2 days. I don't think I even need to cover this.
Okay.
It's all decided. Well, Dad, here's 53. Come get it.
Well, you got to figure out who the mystery center is that you're picking up
true.
Off the wire.
Yeah,
that's
so true.
We'll have to see how it all plays out. We're going to have tons of coverage for you on JS Online and PackersNews.com. Tell them about the blog.
Yeah, so the live blog begins 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. I learned that from a couple of years ago when their first cut was at like 7:30 and I wasn't ready.
Last year it was at 6:30.
Was it?
Yeah, because I was asleep when I got the text message. I woke up, tweeted it at 6:45.
Yeah, and we were off and running. And I was on the thing from 7 a.m. till, when did they release the pick?
Like 7:45?
Yeah.
It was over 12
hours.
12 hours,
yeah.
How many cups of coffee did you go through?
I don't know, but my partner put on Facebook that I was still in my boxers on the couch the whole day. I was not too happy that she did that, but it was kind of true. I finally took a shower at I don't know what time. But that's kind of how the whole day goes.
It's weird because it's one of those things where it's the busiest day of the year, but you literally don't have to move. You don't have to be anywhere. You don't have to go to the locker room. You don't have to go to press conferences. You're just sitting at home, working the phone, working the email, and it's like you're exhausted, but you haven't moved an inch.
I'll tell you what. When I first started on the beat, the player's parking lot did not have a fence around it, and we just hung out in the parking lot, and guys would come out, and we'd go up to them and ask them if they got cut. You know, I mean, it was brutal. You felt terrible. But, you know, a guy who's just been cut, sometimes he just wants to talk to somebody,
true.
You know. And it was really demeaning to be standing out there and doing that. But
well, that's why, like 2 years ago, my first year on the beat, when I spent cut day with Alonzo Harris, yeah. I felt bad because it was at the hotel where all these guys stay, and I could see them going in and out with their luggage, and that's how we ended up breaking news on at least 4 or 5 of the guys was I could see him leaving the hotel, and I would just be like, hey, what's going on? Oh, I got released.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult time.
It is. Nobody wants to be covered that they lost their job, you know.
So when people listen to this Friday morning, should they expect cuts later today?
Yeah. I would think that they'll cut up to 15 guys maybe.
To get close to that 75
yeah,
figure that they would have been at?
Exactly. I think that's how they'll do it. Maybe 20. They could, if there's some surprise guy, they could do that tomorrow just to they always say, oh, well, we just want to give them a chance to hook on somewhere else. That could happen. But more than likely with Ted, the way he operates, he's not letting his hand show until the last minute with guys who are practice squad eligible or guys they want to bring back to the practice squad.
I was talking to one agent today, and he said that he thought some teams around the league would try and cut a couple of the guys that they'd like to keep on the practice squad on Friday, because they think it'll draw less attention than releasing it on Saturday. You know, because if a guy makes it to the final cut, then maybe that draws more attention to him than if a guy gets released the day before. Do you buy into that at all?
I don't know. I know it gives – so you can't start signing practice squad guys until Sunday.
Correct.
24 hours, I think, after the claims are through. Once the claim's clear, then you can start signing practice.
I think it's like around lunchtime, isn't it, on Sunday?
Maybe it is, yeah. So then there's two days. I think I don't buy that completely because, for instance, if you're the Packers, you don't want other teams getting another 2 days to look at your guys. I mean, they could predict pretty much who's going to be cut.
Sure.
But knowing Ted, he plays a lot of games that way. So
there you have it. There's our depth charts. They're eerily similar. I'm actually pretty surprised by that.
Yeah, well, you know, that's reflective of what this team is.
And how much time we spend together over the course of training camp, bouncing ideas off each other.
But they're, like, set at all 22 starting positions.
Yep.
So it's not really that hard to trim the roster. It's really you're trimming guys at the end of the roster.
Exactly. So there will be lots to follow over the next couple of days. Check us out, as I mentioned, on PackersNews.com and JSOnline.com. And, well, this is the end of our daily format. So we'll be back on Monday, and then we'll start either two or three times a week. We'll figure it out. But the podcast is not going anywhere. We know you guys enjoyed it, so it'll be here for a while. And it's good to have you, Tom.
Yay, podcast. Go podcast.
Talk to you guys soon. This time I know it's real. The feeling that I feel. I know if I put my mind to it, I know that I really can do it. I got my mind set.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.